We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mountain West Insider Podcast here on the Field of 68 Media Network. My name is Rob Dosser. I got Jeff Goodman with me. We got a loaded show today, folks. We're going to be hearing from Leon Rice here in just a couple of minutes. And we also have an interview with Richard Pitino that we recorded for After Dark on Saturday night. That interview ended up going about 18 minutes long, and we only need about 4 minutes for After Dark. So we have plenty of extra content to share with you guys that has never been heard before. It was a lot of fun. We talked with Richard about his dad. We talked about his team getting a big win against San Diego State. And we talked about John Fanta's prediction that New Mexico is going to the Final Four. It was fun. Richard's always fun. Leon's always fun. That's part of the reason why we like this league so much. There are a lot of very enjoyable coaches to talk to. Speaking of enjoyable, the first thing we got to talk about here, point blank period, Jeff, Utah State won a game with a 5-point play. For the people that didn't see it, there was a 3-pointer was hit while the ball was in the air. Utah State was down 4. A 3-pointer was made while the ball was in the air. There was a foul committed on the rebound, so Utah State got 2 free throws. Both of them went in. 87-86, the Aggies end up winning, and they stay undefeated in the Mountain West standings. I've never seen anything like that before, ever in my life.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen – I mean, I've seen 5-point plays like that, but not to win a game. And Grade Osborne steps up to the line, and I think he's both of our new favorite players, by the way. We both – after that interview last week, man – I love the kid. I love the kid. He's fun to talk to. Breath of fresh air. He drains 2 threes for the game on the line that honestly, you know, will be huge for this team and this program going forward because, you know, it just gives him a big, another win, a road win, a quality win. And again, you just don't know what could happen if you lose that game. How does this team react to that loss? You're going to need all you can get. The league's obviously done an incredible job so far, having, you know, six teams in the top 50 in both KenPom and the net, which is more than a lot of other of the so-called power leagues right now. So we picked the right time to start this podcast because the league's been absolutely awesome so far.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is, and tell me if you agree with this, right? I feel like there is a discrepancy in the way that the public at large views the Mountain West versus some of the other conferences, right? And I feel like the conference as a whole doesn't get the credit that it deserves when it comes to how difficult it is to win on the road in places like UNLV, which may not actually be a top half team in the Mountain West, as crazy as it sounds. The team that beat Creighton in their own building by 15 might be the 7th best team in the Mountain West. How tough it is to win at Air Force, how tough it is to go and deal with Tim Miles. Tim Miles has played San Diego State down to one possession, and he was up by 9 in the second half on Boise State earlier this year, right? And I hope people realize that just because the Mountain West doesn't get the same kind of respect nationally that it deserves as a league like the Pac-12 does, for example, that just because a team loses on the road, it shouldn't negate the way that we view how good that team is. And when you go out and do something like what Utah State did or what Boise State did over the weekend and win a big game on the road against some of these teams, you got to get the credit you deserve. You got to get the plaudits for it.
the key for these teams, the top six, is not losing the bottom three this year. That's going to be the key. Is, you know, the numbers for Fresno, for Air Force, for even Wyoming, you know, they're low right now. So really, if you lose to anybody else, it is not going to hurt you much. You know, even what San Jose right now is in the mid, like 160. Okay, so you can lose to anybody else and it's not going to hurt you. But if you lose to one of those bottom three, that's where I think you're going to fall off numbers-wise. And that's what you have right now. You know, you have strong numbers for all six of these schools. So I think ultimately there's got to be a big separation in order to get all six in. And that's what you want right now. If you're the Mountain West, you're saying, man, if we can get six in, and again, we'll talk to Leon about this here in a minute, how important would that be? Again, when the Pac-12 is going to be struggling to get four or five.
Pac-12 might be a one bid league this year, Jeff. It might be a one bid league. And I will say this. If we're talking about the best 68 teams and what would in theory be the best 32 at-larges, I will be shocked if the five at-larges, the six teams coming from the Mountain West, are not better than a lot of those other teams, right? On paper, if you watch them actually play, if you know what you're looking at, like the quality of play in this conference is very, very, very high. And it's not I'm not just saying this because we're doing a Mountain West podcast, right?
It's been great this year.
They have two potential first-team All-Americans. Here's how wild it is. Let me put this into perspective, right? They have two potential first-team All-Americans right now in Isaiah Stevenson, Jaden Ledee. And I think you could I don't want to say very easily, but I think you can make an argument that Donovan Dent has been better than Isaiah Stevens in certain aspects this year. And you could probably make an argument that Great Osabor is more important to his team than Jaden Ledee is. That's how wild it is. They have two first-team All-Americans that, you know, maybe they're not the best at their position in the conference.
Yeah, listen, again, loaded, good coaches, good teams, great storylines. I mean, again, Utah State. Danny Sprinkle not having one player returning who scored a point for the Aggies last year, like amazing. Richard Pitino, who I questioned his hire because, you know, again, I just didn't know if it would work in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he had never been and didn't have any recruiting ties. Obviously, we know Dutch. We know Leon. They've been in the league for a long time. But, you know, Steve Alford, I didn't know he'd end up doing this year.
All right,
so, this league's great. Looking forward to – and let's just get to it now, Rob. Let's just get to the Leon Rice interview right now, Boise State head coach. He's kind of the godfather of the league. He's been around forever. And we'll have some fun with him too, trust me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now let me welcome on to the Mountain West Insider Podcast, none other than Leon Rice, the head coach of the Boise State men's basketball team, who is currently sitting at 3-0 in the Mountain West standings, a half game out of first place behind Utah State, coming off of a couple of big wins over the course of the last week, beating Colorado State and then going on the road and taking down Nevada. Leon, I want to start you with this. you guys started out 2-3 against Division I teams this season, and since then you've reeled off 8 of your last 9. What has changed for you guys in this run? Is it just a matter of getting confidence? Is it just a matter of being on the right side of where the ball bounces? How have you guys improved in the last month or so?
Well, I think there's a lot of layers to that. Number one, it starts out a lot of times with who you play, when you play them. And, you know, we had a gauntlet that we ran. And, you know, people know we had San Francisco here, and then we went to Clemson. And then we were, you know, we were in Orlando for 3 quality games. And then, you know, we came back off that and we were greeted with St. Mary's in North Texas. St. Mary's on a neutral in North Texas is a heck of a team. And I mean, that little stretch there, it maybe doesn't have the top 5 teams or that, but it had a lot of great teams and a lot of tough places and a lot of travel. And so, you know, there's that to factor into it. Then we have 3 of our main guys that are new to the program and transfers. And I think there's always a growth period in that. And, you know, I think they've all come together in this stretch, you know, with the experience of those close games, because what playing good competition does is it exposes things you need to get better at. And those got exposed and we got better at them. When you have high character kids that want to be coached and want to learn, want to stay together, you can, you know, we call it the valley of death. You can go through a valley of death with which every team goes through at some point. And the ones that can come out on the other side better are, because you don't know how long those are going to go. And, you know, you can go for a season. It can go for 3 games. It can go for 10 games. But you got to get through it. And if you can get through it better, it makes you a lot better team down the road.
Hey, what did you know about Omar Stanley before you got him in the portal? How well did you know him? What was the hook? And how important has he been over this last, you know, few weeks especially?
Huge. And, you know, I think the thing that jumped out at me is what a great kid he is and how hungry he was to be coached. And when you look at the improvement of the guys that have transferred here and why they improved, number one, we're so committed to it. We have a roadmap for each individual and, you know, where it can go to and how it can end for them in such a great way. But it's always about the team. And when you get good guys that want to get better, want to be coached, that's where it starts. You can't make somebody better if they don't want to be coached. And he was so hungry to do it. And then he also settled into figuring out how our system, where he best fits in, how we can get him shots. And then it just took time for our guys to get used to playing together. There was some of that. And, but, you know, I give Omar a ton of credit, man. He comes in hungry every single day and we spend a ton of time together watching film and, you know, cause you got to learn a new language really when you come to a new program. And so I think he deserves all the accolades he's getting right now and the team loves him. And, you know, he's just been such a great fit.
Leon, when we talked at Media Day, one of the things that you and your guys were excited about was getting Tyson a chance to move back down to more of the 4 role. And obviously, Omar's kind of helped facilitate that, right? In the last 5 games, he's averaging 19.8 points and 8.8 boards, which, according to my sources, is pretty good.
yes.
Obviously, Tyson has kind of been Tyson this season, right? How have you seen that dynamic working out, and has it lived up to what your excitement level was when we talked 3 months ago?
Yeah, but you know, Tyson's so consistent that, you know, I think fans get bored with it and don't acknowledge how great, you know, he gets like 20 and 10 or 20 and 9 the other night. And it's like, oh, ho-hum. No, that was a heck of a performance on the road against a great defensive team. And they know him. And so, you know, when you have somebody that just is night in, night out, day in, day out, that good, you don't want to take it for granted. But not only bringing in Omar, but Cam has been a huge addition. And I don't know if you guys know the story, but he's playing with a bad shoulder. And, you know, so he's had to go through a toughness test almost where it's like, okay, you're still really valuable to this team. You're still an important part. You're an old head. You can help mentor these big guys. You've been through a lot. You know, he was at Kansas when they cut down the nets, and No. So he's got all this experience and a wealth of knowledge, and he kind of had to get at peace with, you know, when an athlete's body doesn't do the things that it used to do, or doesn't do the things he knows he can do, it can be really, really frustrating for him. And so, you know, we've helped him through that. And now he's embracing this great role as almost, I told him, hey, you get to be Bill Walton when he went to the Celtics, you know, that.
he was like, who? Who?
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. He had to Google it for him and show him. But, you know, he brings so much to that group, and you need, you know, like in football talk, you need a really good nucleus of bigs in the big room, you know, and he's so valuable to that. And it's so neat to see a kid, you know, I mean, this guy was a Division II All-American, scored 25 points a game, all that. He can score, and but it's so neat to see him embrace the tough circumstances, and hey, they are what they are, and I'm going to make the best out of it. And it's going to make him a better player. It's going to, you know, but when he transferred here, this is not what he envisioned, but it's a testimony to his character and his toughness that he's still helping the team. You know, a lot of kids would just opt it out and had surgery and gone on their merry way, you know, but what he's doing is pretty special and should be noted to, you know, the fans and all these people that don't, you know, we're singing about Omar. We're talking about Tyson, and Cam's play was playing at that level with those guys. And, you know, he still has huge value to this team. He's playing at a high level doing other things. So it's pretty neat to see those three working together and Mo in that room too.
Listen, I still think what's neat is watching you with your kid, with Max. And I know it's been a long time here, and the end is near. I mean, the end is near. I don't know if you thought about this, but like, I don't think he's got another season, does he? I think this is it.
He and Mark have a special relationship, Coach View, and Mark calls it the 50% rule, because Max will just say things and just makes them up all the time. Like, the media asked him, well, what are you going to do next year? He's like, I don't know. I'm thinking about coming back for another year. I'm like, what, are you just making stuff up? I'm pretty sure you don't have another year. But, you know, this day and age with the NCAA rules, who knows? We could probably
never know.
Hide him in and just.
Tell me about kind of your relationship with him when it started, when he came into the program and now, and how you guys have kind of grown together as his career and as he's become a really big piece of this program. And it amazes me again, because the one thing I was always told, Leon, was, listen, take your son if he's going to be the best player or the worst player. Well, your son is in between. He's not the best player. He's one of them. He's certainly not the worst player. We know that. How has that been as a challenge to try to figure out?
Yeah, it's been a huge challenge. And, you know, because you go back to the very start of it, and, you know, there always is the murmurings and the whispers behind your back as far as, oh, the only reason he got to go play at Boise State is because his dad and this and that. And Max, man, he's a amazing competitor, and he hated that. That drove him. And so it really did, you know, at the start of his career here, you've heard the story. I call him 12 because I didn't call him Max. Yep. You know, we didn't want to be father son on the court. And so he really almost avoided me all the time. And I let the assistants handle him a lot. And, you know, then you flash forward, he just got better and better and better. And I was probably underplaying him. And it's, you know, in hindsight, it's good it happened that way, because, you know, we'd walk around town and people would tell me, like, what are you doing, coach? You need to play 12 more. You need to play 12 more. And they were serious. They wanted to win.
Yeah.
And so one time I had my assistants, you know, we were struggling a little bit, and I asked my assistants, what's our record when we play Max more than 20 minutes? And it was like 20-2. And I'm like, I'm the worst coach in the history of basketball.
I'm a dumbass. Right.
And so, you know, we made the change, and he was a big part of that change, and you play winners, you get wins. It's pretty simple. And, you know, he provides an energy and a leadership and a toughness, and he's a great example to those other guys about unselfishness and do anything to win. And that's what he brings to this table and this team. And, you know, I got to tell you this story. It's really cool. I got a text from Bob McKillop, who coached his son, and you know, we've gotten to know each other over the years on the Nike trip, and you know, those friendships that you forge on those trips are so valuable. And he reached out to me and sent me a heartfelt text. And it was a long, long text about how one of his biggest regrets that he didn't publicly praise his son, and he didn't do it in front of the team because you're afraid that, you know, oh, it's his kid, that's why he's singing that praises. And he said that was one of the biggest regrets that he had in coaching. And he said, I hope you find it. And when I read it, man, I was like, it's exactly what I did. I would never do it in front of the team because I, you know, I'd have one of the assistants praise him if he needed praises, but I would never do it. I would never do it with the media. And when I got that text, I was like, well, he's earned it. I mean, he's an all-conference player in the Mountain West and has helped us in all these wins. He's, I would do it for any other kid. So why wouldn't I do it for him? And it that's been really, really a game changer for us because now.
Yeah, you can exhale. You can, you're not worried anymore, right? You're not worried about how you coach him anymore. You don't think about it.
No. And no, absolutely not. And, you know, because he's earned another, you know, one of the Marcus Shaver said in front of the team one time, he's like, you know, I have so much respect for Max because he's earned every second out there way more than any of us did, you know? So there was never that, hey, he's playing because he's the coach's kid. No, he got underplayed.
Hey, you are know? You going to cry? Are you going to cry on senior night, or is he going to, who's more likely to cry? Not your wife, but like out of you or Max, who's more likely to cry?
Yeah, Max wouldn't. Max wouldn't, but you know, we had a senior night last year and so we already went through the motion of it once. And you know, the tough thing is these senior nights are huge games. So it's, you got to keep your emotions in a box on those nights. And I guess we can cry at the banquet or something like that, but no, it's, but you know, that I'm so grateful for Bob to give me that perspective. And there's the stuff he said about, you know, there's nobody that cared more than his son about Davidson basketball. There was nobody that, and what he would do for the front of that jersey. And, you know, Max has been in this program basically 14 years since I've been here because we moved here. He was going into sixth grade. And so he was, you know, he knew what was going on and he always wanted to be a player in this program. He wanted to be, he didn't want to just be on the team. He wanted to be a player. And so it's been a great journey. It's a tough one. It's hard. It's hard on those kids. It's hard on the families. And, you know, we made a rule. We can talk about basketball at home around the dinner table, you know, about Max and playing time and this and that, or we can talk about everything else, but we can't go back and forth. So we don't, you know, in those tough times, we didn't really, you know, and I'm so shallow. There's not many things I can talk about other than basketball. I can talk about football. So that was about all we would talk about maybe, but it was, you know, and Rob and my wife helped us both through it. And, you know, it's a great journey. We wouldn't, you know, the interesting thing too, is when I started it, I called all the guys, you know, Alford, man, the Alfords have been amazing in the texts and, you know, our wives talk about it because they went through a lot and, you know, Bryce never got the credit for what a heck of a player he was.
Great player.
All he got was just rain, you know, it all rained down on him. And, you know, so they went through it on a national level with the spotlight on him. And that was tough. And, you know, they've been great mentors and just so, you know, gracious. And, you know, it just people like that in this business don't get the credit. And they do so many amazing things for other people that we're grateful for that.
Leon, one of my favorite stories that you've told is back when Adam Morrison, when you were an assistant at Gonzaga and Adam Morrison was on the team, what you used to do is make up stories about what you heard people in the student section say, what you heard written in the newspaper on a broadcast or something like that, just to get them riled up because Adam was wound a certain way that we all understand. Who is the guy on this Boise State team that you need to make up stuff about to try to get them fired up a little bit, to give them a little, you know, a little fire in their belly, to give them a little bit of an edge?
Oh, that probably would be Max. You know, he loves that.
What do you
stuff.
Say? What do you make up?
Yeah. Oh, you know, sometimes I'll just like the daddy's boy stuff, you know, the only reason you play is that, Oh, he gives me the look. So, but no, he's just such a fierce competitor that, you know, I can't tell those stories right now because I'll tell him after he's gone because I don't want him to know I make him up. So, yeah, and he probably knows, he's pretty smart. And darn it, they can fact check everything, but, you know, it, yeah, I'll push those buttons down and I'll tell those stories down the road so I don't give away my secrets.
All right. So we are in the process, I don't know if I told you, of putting together a coaches pickleball tournament.
Yeah.
Got the final four. Okay. I want to know, number one, how many times a week you play, if you're in, and then I want the order right now of the former Gonzaga group. Like, give me best to worst of all you.
Well, the great thing about, okay, first of all, I got to know. Yeah, I'm in for sure.
You're in. Good. We got a commitment, Rob. We got one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I told you that it's a contingent commitment. I told you why. And yeah, absolutely. You know, the great thing about pickleball, it's everybody thinks they're the best. I mean, I played with guys that are terrible and they think they're so good. It's crazy. So each one of us will rank each other, rank themselves number one. They'll rank number one. And yeah. I just, the one thing that I'm going to have though, and I need a commitment out of this, I'm going to have like it's the US Open tennis or Wimbledon. We got to have a guy sitting in a tower and we got to have line judges because one of the guys I play with, his vision is so bad and his line call.
Will Few cheat? If I just left it up to Fewey and there was no line judge and it's you against Fewey singles, will he cheat?
We don't play singles. We always play doubles. But
I know, but if you had to, if it's just you and Fewey and he doesn't have a partner out there, is he cheating about the call? If like game point and it's close.
I will not throw him under the bus. I will just request it. All you have to do is ask AJ Few, who plays with him all the time, and he'll give you the correct answer on that. And Mark will turn it back and say, no, it's Leon. No. And I turn it back onto him. And I, you know, that guy, you know, he's, I've learned a lot from him, and he's salt of the earth guy. He's the most generous guy. He's the most, you know, he comes from his dad was a Presbyterian minister for 54 years and he's salt of the earth. So there, he can't be doing it on purpose. His vision just must be so awful. That's what it is, because he's too upstanding of an individual to call all those bad calls that he calls.
All right. This is the last one I got for you, Leon. The longest home court winning streak in Division I, do you know who holds that title right now?
Well, I guess it's us.
Yeah, it is. Yep. 22 games, I believe. And I just want to know, what is it that makes that building so difficult to win in for road teams?
Well, first of all, we're getting great crowds and great support now. And you know, it's been a long process. And when I took this job, I think we opened, you know, exhibition game against Montana Tech. And like I said, I had three boys and they all come to the first game and we're leaving Gonzaga. And we came out for that first exhibition and you could have fired a cannon in any direction and you wouldn't have hit anyone. And I could just see my boys like looking around like, what have you done taking this job? You know, we left Gonzaga's atmosphere in this. And I said to him, I said, guys, just wait, wait, how great, wait till you see this thing fall and the people behind it. And, you know, cause I knew they had done that in football and I knew, you know, if we provided the wins and the good product, they will come. And it's happened and it takes a long time, you know. People forget that Mark has been at Gonzaga for like 35 years. He was an assistant there a long, long time. You know, it doesn't get built overnight and it's brick by brick. And, you know, the benefit of staying somewhere this long is I get to see that. I get to see all these alumni coming back. I get to see a full place that we all take pride in. And it's a credit to this community. It's a credit to our administration now too. They're doing things that hadn't been done for me before. And it's making a huge difference, but you can't have a good program without a good home court. And that was the number one thing I knew we needed to build. But, you know, success is never linear. It's up and down and up and down, but you keep fighting and keep trying to get better. That's what you're seeing now. And now we're sold out most of the time, especially on these league games. And it's provided great energy for our guys and made it a tough place to play.
I got one more for you. You've been in this league a long time. Right now, you got six teams in the top 50 of the net and KenPom. How do you compare this league to when it was really rolling, you know, 10, 12 years ago when you were getting four or five, six teams in the tournament?
Right. And that's right when we moved into the league from the WAC. And I was like, you know, I remember calling my buddies up at Gonzaga, like, I will never win a game. We will never win a game in this league. It was so good. Everyone. And, you know, like I said, it's been a long grind. And the thing that jumps out at me is I think the teams are, you know, number one, you got a bunch of veteran guys. You got grad. You got fifth year guys. You got seniors, you know, and guys that have been in the league, like Isaiah Stevens, Blackshear, guys like that. You know, those two come to my mind because we just played them. But these teams are clicking, and they're clicking as teams because you got great coaches. And so these great coaches have been able to keep these guys together a little bit, their nucleus. And, you know, I'm seeing, you know, a bunch of teams that are maybe greater than the sum of their parts. I mean, we've had years where you're like going, looking around the league going, oh, that guy's a first round pick and that guy's a pick and that guy's first pick in the draft. And that guy, you know, on and on and on. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I haven't been through the whole league yet to see them up close and personal, but I do know the teams, man, they're so well coached. They're playing together. They're doing all the things that it takes to win. They're unselfish. All that has certainly jumped out at me.
Well, listen, Leon, we appreciate the time. We're enjoying this run that you guys are on, and hopefully you keep it up. We got to get you back on at some point again this season. So
appreciate you guys. Yeah. Yeah. Great to talk to you guys, and you know, keep that on the down low. I never said Mark was a bad line caller. I just said,
trust me, that quote is getting to him. And if we have to fabricate it, we will fabricate it.
And he'll come right back and say it's me. And that's why we like to be on each other's team. But even then, we complain to each other.
I'm just going to say that you said you carry him when you play together.
I know. It goes back and forth. We're both we both have our strengths and weaknesses, no doubt.
All right. Thanks, Leon.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
We now welcome in the head coach of the New Mexico Lobos. Richard Pitino is with us after his Lobos beat 19th-ranked San Diego State earlier today, 88-70. But Richard, before we ask you questions, I believe you might have a question for me.
Yeah, I just don't know if you drink a lot. You know, day drink or whatever, but I did see something early in the year about you picking us going to the Final Four, and I said, I gotta get to this guy. So I'm happy to finally meet you and wonder what the hell's wrong with you.
Hey, I didn't look like an idiot today, that's for sure. Your team's 14-3. What stood out to you the most in this win over the Aztecs?
You know, Jalen House missed, I think, 8 or 9 games. Jamal Mashburn Jr. missed 8 or 9 games in the non-conference. We were able to hold serve, but we haven't really had a night where those two guys were what they were last year. And tonight, certainly, you know, Jalen House, 26 points, Mashburn, 19 points. It just felt a little bit like last year. It was kind of a bummer that we weren't able to build that early, but we need those guys to hit shots. JT Toppin, I mean, the guy has 17 points, 16 rebounds, and is 1 for 10 from the free throw line. So we competed our butt off. The biggest thing we did was we were plus 10 on the glass, where a team is bigger and stronger than we are.
Yeah, Richard, I wanted to ask you about JT because I don't know if that many people expected this kind of impact from him coming in as a freshman in the Mountain West. And it wasn't just tonight. He's averaging, was it 13-8 this season, the defensive presence. Did you see this coming from him in the offseason?
Now, we really liked him. We did. We saw him in recruiting in his high school senior year. We thought we got a steal, but you never know until they get on a campus and they're going against, you know, Division I players. I didn't think he'd be as productive as he's been. I thought he'd be kind of a gradually go, but I mean, he was one of the best bigs on the court versus an older team. So, mm-hmm. You know, we really liked him, but to say that I thought he'd be this good so soon would probably be a bit of an exaggeration, but I think he can be as good as he wants to be. He just fills a stat sheet. 17 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 blocks on national TV as a freshman is pretty good.
True or false that you are JT Toppin's free throw shooting coach?
Man, that was unbelievable. You know, we've been, him and Nelly Jr. Joseph have not been good. I asked him, he's at my house right now. We have a recruit over. I said, were you horrible in high school? He goes, no, I was really, really good. So we'll work on it. But I don't think I've ever seen that where you play so well and go 1 for 10 from the free throw line. Hope he doesn't beat himself up over it for sure.
Hey, I said going into this game that I thought this was kind of your Super Bowl this year, and it could really change your entire season. We know what you guys did early last year, and then you didn't end up making the NCAA tournament. Obviously, getting a win like this against a program that, again, has so much respect nationally, what does it do, not just for your resume, but maybe for the program psyche, for your confidence of your players?
Yeah, I think you brought up last year, I think there was this little bit of a cloud of, oh, is this going to happen again? Because we started off so great. You know, and I don't think any of us thought we'd be so good so early in year two, but I definitely thought there was a little bit of that feeling amongst our fans and in the air. So it was great to get a decisive win like this, because in our three losses, now the St. Mary's game, Nelly Jr. Joseph had just gotten here. Jalen House didn't play. But the two losses in conference, although we were able to come back, like we were down double digits in those games. So it's not so much the shame of losing on the road in conference, because it's hard to win those games. It was the way that we lost that was so frustrating. So you hate to say as a coach that it is a must win, but it certainly felt like we needed to take advantage of this opportunity and stack some good quality wins like this one.
Yeah. Richard, when you look at the Mountain West heading into conference play, when it started, the conversation was, we got New Mexico, we got Colorado State, we got Nevada out here rolling. We have San Diego State just coming off a Final Four. And you look up today, and the two teams that are in first place are Utah State and Boise State. Well, what does it say about how difficult this league is?
You know, I really believe it's not quite there yet, but it could be the West Coast equivalent to the Big East. Now, we have football. Big East does not have football. But there's a lot of programs that really, really care. And you kind of brought up, like, Boise State played the toughest schedule in the non-conference of anyone in our league. So they may have some losses, but Degenhardt could play anywhere in the country. He's really, really good. The venues, I believe ours, when it's good, is one of the best in the country. Like, I don't even think it's any close, but San Diego State's terrific. Utah State, the job that Danny Sprinkle is doing with losing as many guys as he did is phenomenal. Utah State's really, really hard to play. So I think there's some programs with some stability. Nico Medved's done an amazing job. He's been there a while. Steve Alford's been at Nevada now for a couple of years. He's building something special. So it's continuity more than anything. Obviously, Brian Dutcher's been there for a long time as an assistant head coach. But I do believe if we continue to improve as a conference, there's no, especially now with the Pac-12 kind of breaking down, why we can't be like the Big East and the West. Why I say that is, I really believe all the schools, like San Diego State's had the most success, but all the schools are pretty similar for the most part. The jobs are pretty similar. And I look at the Big East the same way. I mean, you could argue 1 through 8, what are the best jobs? And everybody would probably give a different answer.
All right. I'm going to give you a quote from a coach today, another coach around the country. And I want your thoughts on this quote. It was really insightful. I mean, truly an insightful quote that I think you'll really enjoy.
Some type of setup going on right now, but I'm waiting. Go ahead.
I don't feel good when we lose. I effing hate the world. Just so you understand that, no, I don't feel good. I don't believe in those valiant efforts in the road. I feel like I want to kill myself, jump in the cold, and die of frostbite. First of all, can you guess what head coach said that earlier today?
Yeah, tad extreme at the end there. That turned dark quickly. That cold weather up there in the upper Midwest can get him. I experienced it for 8 years. I think more – here's what I'll say about my dad, and I truly do. But one of his greatest qualities, and I worked for him for 3 years, he gets everybody to hate losing so bad. the trainer will be going up to the players like, come on, man, we can't lose tonight. Don't ruin this for everybody. Like everybody, the managers, he builds such a, and I don't do this because it's just, I don't want to be miserable. Right. So I'm like, he can live through that. But he creates a culture where you despise winning. It's never a attaboy, guys. We almost won at Creighton. Like, it never is that. So I don't know who they play next. I got a feeling, though, they'll be hungry and ready to go.
Well, they've got a road test at Seton Hall, who's in first place in the Big East next on Tuesday night. I do want to ask you, going back to your group and how special your team is, give America the best Jalen House story that you've got.
Man, he is a unique, unique one. And I don't know if people truly know because we haven't played a game like we have tonight. When I say high energy, when I say he relishes being the bad guy, we won at San Diego State last year. He had 28 points. I swear to God, he loves wrestling. He was turning it into like he was this villain, and there's 12,000 people screaming at him. He loves every single second of it. And the amazing thing about Jalen is he is an introvert off the court. He's really? Like a performer on the court, and he wow. just loses his mind. And sometimes our fans get a little bit frustrated with him. And I told Brian Dutcher when I walked up the court at halftime, because Jalen was, you know, doing an and one right in his face, and I'm yelling at him to stop doing that. And I apologized to Coach Dutcher, and he put his arm around me and said, I wouldn't mind having him on my team tonight. And that's just the type of player that he is. So he is, he's fearless. He is tough. He's about as dynamic a player that probably people don't know about.
All right. I got one final thing to end this on. And that is, there's a little bit of a tiff going on between two Big East head coaches right now, a little sparring, little verbal spat between the guy at St. John's and the guy at UConn. Who are you siding with there?
You know, Jeff, if you're going to ask all the Rick Pitino questions, why don't you have him on the show and not me? Right, Rob?
I mean, no. I wanted you on that one. By the way, I haven't talked to you since. Me and your dad have made up. There was no. Great. I believe it
really
was
weighed
you,
on me Bob. Greatly.
Yeah, no, you were really worried. You went to bed at night thinking this will never correct itself.
So the
this
funny part about it,
Richard's fault.
Yeah, no, it's
he
not.
Blamed it on you.
The funny part about it is, Danny Hurley, who I consider a friend. I don't know if he's a close friend by any means, but Kamani Young is one of my best friends in this world. So I kind of love getting in the middle of all this and being from afar and trying to stir it up a little bit. I don't know the whole backstory of it. The Northeast corridor up there, everybody fights with everybody all the time. I don't know if it's the traffic or the cold weather. So I always get a side with family, but I talked to Kamani today and we laugh about it all the time.
You faced Iona. Is New Mexico open to facing St. John's in a potential series of some sort? Since the Mountain West and Big East are so similar, as you said, would the Lobos be interested in the Garden and maybe a game or turn game at the Pit?
It was funny. This year, my dad gave me a date, said it's done. We're going to play December 21st. And I said, let's do it. And as that happened, Bob Walsh, who I worked with at Providence College, texted me on the side. He goes, your dad doesn't know the dates. That date is not available for St. John for the Garden. So I would be open to it. I mean, it's a little annoying with the media. No offense to you guys, but you get asked a lot of questions and those things. But if my athletic director provides a private plane, I will gladly go up there. I think it would be great for our players. It would be great for our fans. And we have struggled with scheduling, so it would be something where it could be a quality win for sure. So I would do it, a quality win opportunity for sure. But I'd love to do it.
You call it a quality win. Just call it a quality win.
Already called it. Yeah, easy game.
Quality win, and on the other side, someone who would apparently jump into the Hudson River if he loses.
I don't want to be responsible for him ending his life this late in his career.
That's Richard Pitino. Richard, I'm not changing anything on my predictions. Keep it rolling at 14-3. Best of luck the rest of the year, and maybe I'll see a psychiatrist in 2024.
Thank you. Yeah, CBI Final Four. We will be there. Thank you.